This is Dear Analyst, episode number 52. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can extract text from the middle of a cell using some specific data I got called the World Happiness Data. And this problem actually came about from a meetup that I watched recently from Danielle Stein-Fairhurst. She runs a meetup all about financial modeling. And recently she had a meetup where two people were discussing the differences between Power Query and Excel formulas. And whether or not, basically they were trying to showcase whether or not Power Query is better than using Excel formulas for cleaning up a data set. And one of the speakers talked about how you can extract data from a cell using Excel formulas. And it reminded me of a task, this meetup reminded me of this task I do all the time, which is you have like a really long piece of text, and it might be pulled from a database or something, and there's a bunch of like dashes and parentheses, and all you're trying to do is just pull out a specific piece of text from that column. And that's what we're going to do today. And I think this is one of those episodes where it's probably going to make sense to watch the YouTube video that I'm going to also publish with this episode to show you how this task works and the formula that you use to actually extract the data that we want from this column of data. So quick note about the data set. This is the World Happiness. This is data set from the World Happiness Report. And this data set actually came from Kaggle, which is one of the websites that I've been using a lot to just get these kind of random data sets. And this report, the World Happiness Report, aims to measure the state of happiness around the world. And it started in 2012, and then 5 years later in 2017, they started releasing rankings of every single country in terms of, I guess, like, you know, which countries people find the most happiness living in. And number one is Finland right now. But I think what's most interesting, excuse me, about this data set is the main life evaluation question that they ask in the survey to the survey respondents. It uses something called the Cantrell ladder. And here's what this question kind of asks for. Please imagine a ladder with steps numbered from 0 at the bottom to 10 at the top. The top of the ladder represents the best possible life for you, and the bottom of the ladder represents the worst possible life for you. On which step of the ladder would you say you personally feel you stand on at this time? On which step do you think you will stand on about 5 years from now? And so the survey question asks this question across various different metrics, looks like GDP per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom to make life choices, generosity, and perceptions of corruption. And all this is stored in the Google Sheet, which is mentioned in the show notes. And yeah, I just thought it's kind of like a really interesting data set to use for this example. So if we're looking at the Google Sheet right now, I'll try my best to explain what we're doing over audio in this episode. But the problem here is in column A, we have, well, first of all, in the data set, we have about 150 rows of data. And we have in column A, the overall rank, which is just 1 through, what is this, 156. And then in column B, we have this column that's highlighted in yellow called data. And then columns C, D, E, F, and G, H, all the remaining columns are the scores for these individual countries. Some of those metrics include GDP per capita, social support, all those things I just mentioned before. So the problem is the data column, looking at the Google Sheet, we have this data column that has the ranking followed by a space, followed by a left parentheses, then the country name, so Finland, Denmark, Norway, Iceland, etc., followed by right parentheses, then space dash space, then the actual happiness score. So just to recap, every single row, we have the rank, space, and then in parentheses, we have the country name, and then a dash, and then the actual score. So all that data, the rank, country, and the score are all contained in this one cell. And our goal is to extract just the country from this column of data. And I'm going to walk through the formula right now on the Google Sheet. But just to read off the function really quickly, it involves two functions in Google Sheets or also in Excel. It's the mid function and the find function. So in column C2, we're going to try to extract the country from cell B2, which right now it reads 1 space in parentheses the word Finland dash score. So to be more specific, it says 1 space left parentheses Finland right parentheses space dash space 7.769, where 7.769 is the overall happiness score for Finland. And in C2, the formula, it looks kind of long, but we're going to break it down into four parts in this episode. The formula to get just the country Finland from cell B2, which contains the rank, country, and the score, is mid left parentheses B2, comma, find left parentheses double quote, left parentheses double quote, comma, B2, right parentheses plus B1, comma, find left parentheses double quote, right parentheses double quote, comma, B2, right parentheses minus find left parentheses double quote, left parentheses double quote, comma, B2, right parentheses minus 1, right parentheses. So I know reading out that aloud probably doesn't make any sense. So let's actually break down what this means step by step. So the first function that you're going to, anytime you think about extracting data from a cell that contains a bunch of text, the first function I always think about, especially if the text you're trying to extract is coming from the middle of the cell, middle of the text in the cell, the first function I always think about using is the mid formula. The mid formula just takes in three arguments. It takes in the cell you're trying to basically like pull data from. That's the first argument. The second argument is what position from that cell you want to pull data from. So it's the starting position. And the third argument is the length of data you want to pull from the cell. So three arguments. It's the cell data you want to pull from, where you want to start pulling from, and then how long you want to pull data from. And it seems pretty simple. And one example I want to talk about really quick just to show you is, let's say we have the movie or the phrase, the Green Mile. The Green Mile is the space green space mile. And if you only want to pull out the word green from that title, the Green Mile, how would you do that? So using the mid function, what you could do is, if you have the Green Mile in cell A1, in cell B1, the formula would look like this. It would be equals mid, left parentheses, A1, comma, 5, comma, 5. So why does that work? Because A1 is the first argument, which just contains the Green Mile. And the second argument is number 5. Why do we use number 5? Because the word green in the Green Mile starts at position 5. So T is number 1, H is number 2, E is number 3. The space is number 4, and 5 is the letter G for green. And then how many letters do we want to pull out from the Green Mile? Well, the green word contains 5 letters. That's why you put number 5 there. So that's why the function is mid left parentheses A1, comma 5, comma 5. We're starting from the 5th position in the Green Mile, and we're pulling in 5 positions or characters from the Green Mile word. And that would just give you the result, which is the word green. So in the context of our happiness data report, I'm in column C now, which says extract country, and I'm going to write equals mid, left parentheses for now, and I'm just going to experiment by looking at the first cell of data, which is Finland. I want to pull out the word Finland. It's going to be equals mid, left parentheses, and then left parentheses, then B2, comma, let's see, Finland starts at position 1, 2, 3, 4, comma, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters in the word Finland. So the formula is mid, left parentheses, B2, comma, 4, comma, 7, right parentheses, and I'll get the word Finland. And you notice in Google Sheets, automatically suggests an autofill. If I hit yes, the problem is that the countries are all going to be pulled out differently, because the first problem you're going to notice is that not all countries start in position 4, and also the length of all the country names is not all 7. Mid B2, comma 4, comma 7 happens to work for the first row of data because Finland happens to start in position 4 of the text, and then Finland, the country, just so happens to have 7 characters of data. So that works for the first cell, but we have to find a more programmatic way to make this work for every single data point in our data set. So how do we do this? So if we go down, if we think about how we can pull out just the first position from the cell that we want, you can start thinking about using the find function. So instead of using 4 in the second argument here in the mid function, I'm going to write find left parentheses B2, which again contains all our data, comma, double quote, left parentheses, double quote, right parentheses. So what I'm telling Google Sheets to do right now is for the starting position, find where the first instance of the left parentheses shows up, and that's going to be position 4 here. So if I hit enter, let's see what happens. I get an error, and why does it happen? What did I do here that's incorrect? Find. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I'm missing a parentheses here. I actually mixed up the order of this. It's actually find, double quote, left parentheses, double quote. I'm looking for the left parentheses, the first left parentheses in cell B2. And you notice that the answer is left parentheses, F-I-N-L-A-N. So it looks like we're missing the letter D, and we're also incorrectly including the left parentheses in our final output. So I'm going to add a 1 next to this find function in order to start the position not at position 3, which is the position of the left parenthesis column, left parenthesis character. I'm going to do plus 1 to change this from 3 to 4. And so now you can see that the extract country is correctly Finland, because we found the instance of the first left parentheses, which is right here. And we simply just add a 1 to that position. So this is 1, 2, 3. So this is the third position. By adding 1 to it, we just move it to this fourth position, which is the letter F in Finland. So it looks like we're getting close to what we want. But if I drag this formula down a little bit, you notice that it still doesn't work exactly what we want. For instance, in row number 9, we have New Zealand. It just says new space Z. And that's because every single formula here is correctly finding the starting position, but only returns back the first 7 characters. What happens if the country has less than 7 characters or more than 7 characters? Then you're going to get an incorrect result. So this is probably the hardest part of the function that we're going to have to build, which is how do we dynamically and programmatically tell Google Sheets to change this length number? Remember, back to just to recap what we did so far, the mid function takes in 3 arguments. First, we have the cell that we want to break apart and extract, which is B2. We have the find left parentheses B2 plus 1. This is just finding the first position where we want to start pulling data from. And the third argument is the 7, which is the number of characters we want to return back. So the trick here is we're going to use the find function 2 more times in order to programmatically get the length of the country name that we want to pull back. And the pattern that you recognize here in all the cells is that the country names are within parentheses. So we have an open parentheses and a closing parentheses. So we can actually use that closing parentheses to our advantage in order to build out this dynamic find function to get the length of the country. So what I'm going to do here is do find left parentheses, double quote, and I'm going to look for the closing parentheses this time within cell B2. So that's my first find function. I have this right here, find closing parentheses in cell B2. So that's going to give me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Position 11 in cell B2, which is our Finland data. Position 11 contains the starting position of the closing parentheses. That's what this find closing parentheses is going to result to. And then I'm going to subtract the position of the opening parentheses, which we kind of already did in the first part of this formula. So I'm just going to copy this, find opening parentheses, put that back here in the end of the formula. So now I have minus find double quote left parentheses double quote comma B2. So think about what this is doing now. This is taking position 11, which is the close parentheses position, which is right here, this part of the formula, and it subtracts the position of the open parentheses in the cell, which is right here, position 3. So if I hit enter here, you'll notice that I'm going to get an incorrect answer because it contains an extra closing parentheses. And what happens is I did 11 minus 3, which gives me the number 8, but we actually only need the number 7 because there's only 7 characters in the word Finland. And we actually have to put a minus 1 after these two find functions. So now it's find closing parentheses minus find the opening parentheses, and then minus 1. And that's going to give us the correct number of 7. And now you can see that the country correctly results to Finland. And now if I just drag this formula down, you'll see that all the country is now polling correctly, regardless of the length of the country name, and also regardless of where the country starts in our cell of data. So that's a really neat trick here for pulling out just the country name using the mid function and the find function basically 3 times in order to pull out the country name. With anything where you're kind of pulling out data and you're recognizing patterns in the data set, it always makes sense to kind of scroll through and make sure that everything looks correct. And you'll notice here in cell, let's see here, I know there's a mistake here somewhere. Let's see here. Here we go. In row 104, we have the country name. So just to tell you what exactly the cell says, it says 103, which is the rank, space, left parentheses, Congo, left parentheses, Brazzaville, and then 2 right parentheses, followed by dash 4.8.12. Our formula does not account for situations where the country name contains extra stuff after the country name in parentheses. So in this case, Brazzaville is in parentheses after Congo. And you notice that in the extract column, it shows up as Congo space left parentheses Brazzaville, and there is no closing parentheses. So we have 2 options here. We can either manually change this one cell so that it gets rid of Brazzaville, or we just include it and put a closing parentheses, or we ultimately change the formula here that we have written to account for situations like this, these really rare edge cases where there's country names with extra stuff within parentheses after the country name. Not sure if it's correct here, because we have another example here with Congo, with Kinshasa, and maybe this is a big enough problem where we want to manually create the formula, but since there's only 156 countries of data that I need to kind of fix, and most of the data is correct, I might just manually change these cells to, manually type in like the closing parentheses at the end of Brazzaville, or I might just delete Brazzaville entirely if I don't want to like put in, you know, specific regions and countries. And this really comes down to the kind of the bigger picture of how you're going to use this formula in practice. And this actually speaks to the video actually I mentioned at the top of this episode, which is when to use Power Query versus formulas. Because one might argue that you could just use text-to-columns to fix this problem. You could just, let's actually insert a bunch of empty rows here. And I could just select column B and then select data, split text to columns, and then change the separator to be a left parentheses. Whoops, let me do that again. Change the custom separator to be a left parentheses, hit enter. And you notice that column C now contains almost exactly what I need with the country name. Now instead, I'm going to select column C again, go to data, split text columns, separator, I keep on clicking outside of here, text to columns. Oops, that's like column D, column C, data, split text to columns, separator is a right parentheses. And you see that I can correctly already get the country name in column C just by doing two steps of text to columns. So in this situation where I only have 150 or so rows of data, I think text to columns might actually be the right answer to quickly get this data out, quickly get the column name or the country name out, because maybe I'm only doing a one-off analysis and I don't want to spend a bunch of time trying to fidget around to find the perfect like formula to pull out the country name. Maybe text to columns is all I need. But here's the big situation where I want you to think more long-term and more bigger picture, is what if you have 150,000 rows of data and you have situations where you have Congo Brazzaville or Congo Kinshasa, where even though you think text to columns might work, it might actually result in some errors and you're gonna have to go through and sort and filter through data to figure out, did it actually pull out the data that you needed from your column? Other things to think about is, do you want to be able to audit how you did the data transforming in your data set? If you are using something like Power Query, you can actually kind of audit all the different steps that you took to transform your data. You could, because in Power Query, there's a right-hand panel where you can see all the different steps that you did. First, like you extract from, you first do a text to columns with the left parentheses, then you do text columns with the right parentheses, and you'll see all those steps. And if there's any point in time you want to go backwards because there's a bad transformation step, you can just click on the left right-hand panel and you can select a different step. But not everyone has Excel, not everyone has Power Query. So you could use other free tools, which I like to use, like OpenRefine, which is a really great tool for cleaning and transforming data, which also breaks down into different steps of your transforming of your data set. So there are a lot of situations where you have to think about, how big is your data set? Where is it coming from? Do you have Power Query? Do you have other tools that you use for cleaning data? Is this a one-off analysis, or is it kind of like a recurring analysis where you have to do this like every day, every week, every month? In that case, it might make sense to use the formulas like the MID and the FIND functions, because every time you get new raw data into your spreadsheet, you have to parse that data out using the formula, which you can have like in a separate staging worksheet. Or if you're really fancy, you could probably, you know, still use Power Query or even a macro, because every time you get the new data set, you can run the macro or do the Power Query steps to pull out the data you need. But this goes back to episode 51, where I talked about wanting to, for me, you know, this is just me from not using Power Query too much. I like to see all my data transformation steps in my spreadsheet. I don't like to go to a separate tool, which Power Query essentially is, to do the cleaning before my data comes back into Excel, which is all nice and clean. So there are definitely quite a few questions you need to ask yourself in terms of, what does your data pipeline really look like? Where is your data coming from? And what is the best long-term solution to make sure that you can clean the data correctly for further downstream analysis? I think this goes to, I think an important consideration is whether or not you have Excel, Power Query, or other data cleaning tools that your organization already pays for that allows you to do this at scale, because not every single data cleaning project will be as simple as taking out the country name from 150 rows of data that we have for this simple analysis. So those are this is basically the main gist of this episode, is how to take clean this data up and some bigger long-term questions you should think about when it comes to your long-term data pipelines and how you want to basically have your data ready and clean for further analysis in Excel. And I think for whatever solution you do, make sure you have all the steps documented in, you know, some doc somewhere, so that another analyst, one of your colleagues who has to work with you on this Excel file or Google Sheets file, or who is going to inherit this analysis from you, can understand how you went from point A, which is like this really messy data, to point B, which is you extracted a specific piece of text from that cell for the final analysis that you're going to do with that data. So that's going to be the main meat and potatoes of this episode. And for the second half of this episode, I'm going to talk about two other podcasts and or blogs that I listened to or read recently that I think are worth mentioning. The first one is This Week in Startups from Jason Calacanis, episode 1129. And he interviews Ring founder Jamie Siminoff, and they talk about launching the Always Home Cam, which is this really, really cool product where it's like basically a drone flying around in your house. And when it detects like there's an intruder, then the drone like flies up and like has a camera on the intruder. And I want to bring up this episode because around minute 17 or 18, Jamie, the founder of Ring, he talks about how building difficult products sometimes means building products that people, well, they want to exist, but when it first comes out, it may not be perfect. And he makes this point about how if you are a new company and you're launching a new product, and when the product comes out perfect right when you launch, there's a really good chance that the product is not going to succeed in the long term. And he mentions a few examples. I don't remember exactly the examples he talks about, but he mentions how a lot of hardware companies back when he was still working on Ring early in the day, many of these companies had huge amounts of funding, you know, $5, $10 million, $20 million in funding. And they're trying to solve this really interesting hardware problem, but then these companies ended up failing because when they came out, the products were being used okay. Consumers were saying, yeah, this product, I was able to get it to work and it works fine in my apartment or my car or whatever. But ultimately, it didn't solve that specific need, that long-term need that the customer was looking for, even though it worked exactly as intended. And I think the point that he was trying to make is if you really want to have a successful product launch, the product can't work perfectly on the first day. It can't work perfectly out of the box, because if it doesn't work perfectly, that gives you time to talk to your customers, learn from them, see how they're using the product, and ultimately answer and solve their actual problems from examining how they're using the product. And I think it's a really interesting kind of way of thinking about launching products in general, because we typically think about whether it's launching a hardware product, a software product, publishing a blog post, we think about making it perfect so that when people download it, use it, pay for it, they're going to have the best experience. But Jamie is basically saying that when it first launches, it should have some negative reviews. It should have people saying, hey, it's not exactly working the way I think it should. And he's basically saying it doesn't have to be perfect. And that could actually be a signal that this product is good enough where people are like experimenting with it and willing to give you feedback that it sucks, but they're not letting go of it entirely. And they're willing to kind of like give you feedback to improve it and hopefully solve their problems down the road. And in that constant iterative product feedback cycle, that's when you can really build a product that kind of stands the test of time. And I just haven't heard about product launches being framed that kind of way. So I thought it was really interesting hearing Jamie, who, you know, worked on this amazing product called Ring, if you hear his story about how he started Ring, it's really inspiring, because it definitely was definitely not a successful product right when it launched. But then over time, you know, he got on Shark Tank and then eventually got bought up by Amazon. And now it's like this amazing product. Basically saying that poor reviews can actually be a good signal that the product is on the way to being a long-term, viable, profitable product for the business. So, yeah, and then obviously the opposite is if you're getting just 100% five-star, 100% reviews right when your product launches, that could be a negative signal that this product is not going to succeed long-term, because people are saying that, yeah, it works perfectly and it worked my first try, but it's not really solving the problem long-term because you think you've launched a perfect product and you're not getting that constant product feedback, negative reviews, you know, things that aren't working that really help answer the customer's questions long-term and get them using the product long-term, no matter what the product is, whether it's a physical hardware product, software, blog post, you know, podcast, YouTube video, whatever it may be. So I think that's kind of an interesting way to think about launching products. The second thing I want to talk about is this kind of interesting blog post, which is, I'll be brutally honest, it's a little bit beyond my kind of knowledge, because it talks about how to an algorithm for how to recalculate a spreadsheet. And it's, I don't know the author's name, but it's on this website that he calls lore.io, and it's linked to in the show notes. But the basic gist that I think is interesting to talk about here is that he walks through two different algorithms for when to recalculate a spreadsheet. I'm not going to walk through the fine details, but basically the two main algorithms people use for recalculating a spreadsheet is dirty marking, which is identifying which cells in the spreadsheet have changed or need to be updated. And then also topological sorting, which is giving each cell that needs to be changed from a formula a specific height. And the article talks about how modern Excel that we all use every day, and probably Google Sheets too, uses a combination of these two algorithms, dirty marking and topological sorting, to basically recalculate your spreadsheet when a value changes somewhere in your spreadsheet. And it turns out that this is not the most optimal and efficient way to recalculate a spreadsheet, because there are some wasted cycles in using the combination of these two algorithms. But the rub here is that since our machines, our hardware, is so fast at recalculating things, whether it's in Excel or Google Sheets, we don't notice the lags in this inefficient algorithm unless we are working with an Excel file with like millions of rows, for instance. And I think for some of you who have worked with, you know, really large, actually, I think you can't even go past 1.5 million rows, but for some of you who have worked with big Excel files that have like a few hundred thousand rows, you've probably run into this issue where if you have a bunch of formulas that need to recalculate, those formulas might take some time. You might get the spinner and stuff, and that's because it's trying to recalculate a huge spreadsheet of a few hundred thousand rows. And this author goes on to say that there are, he talks about a specific algorithm that he wrote, which is called, it's called Anchor. And he talks about a new algorithm for recalculating a spreadsheet, which he doesn't talk about how much faster it is compared to Excel's algorithm of using topological sorting and the dirty marking. But he does say that it blends the best of both worlds. And yeah, I really can't speak more than that because it's kind of getting on to a subject that I'm not really familiar with. But I think it's worth just taking a quick read to see how he frames the algorithm that Excel uses versus what he thinks is the most efficient way or one of the more efficient ways to recalculate a spreadsheet. And I really like the analogy he uses in the blog post, which I really think is fun, is he relates recalculating a spreadsheet to building a burrito and ordering salsa for the burrito, which is really apropos if you've ever lived in like the Mission in San Francisco, which is just known for really amazing burritos and tacos. So yeah, that's a really interesting blog post. Take a look. If you're into algorithms, it might be right down your alley. If you're not, like me, so worth a read because it's interesting seeing how Excel's algorithm compares to some of the more potential more efficient algorithms that could make things faster for really, really big spreadsheets if you really want to speed things up a little bit on your end. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for this episode, and thank you for listening.